Pyrrhus of Epirus, the Battle of Maleventum, Part 1. Well, the news of Pyrrhus's return to Italy caused consternation in Rome. The previous year had been an inauspicious one to begin with. A series of plagues had struck Rome. One targeted pregnant women in particular. Another almost wiped out all the Roman cattle herds. The same year, the statue of Jupiter on the Capitoline Hill was struck by lightning and the head was sheared off. This was an omen of defeat seen by many. The constant warfare and the plague had caused many deaths. Livy's census figures for the years 279 and 271 show that the number of citizens had fallen by 16,000. Despite their victories over the past 3 years, the Romans appear to have been almost as war-weary as their Italian enemies. The thought of another war against the previously victorious Pyrrhus was too much for many. When the consuls tried to raise two new consular armies for 275, many of those conscripted refused to enlist. The Senate was forced to take harsh measures. The draft dodgers were threatened with having all their property confiscated and themselves being sold into slavery. Remember, in order to be in the Roman army at this time, you need to be a landowner. Such was the low state of morale that even this threat was insufficient to compel enlistment. It was not until the penalty was actually enforced on one unlucky individual that the remainder conceded and joined the army. While Pyrrhus had been campaigning in the south of Italy, the two new Roman consuls had also been active. Manius Curius Detatus had led an army in the Samnium, while his colleague Cornelius had invaded Lucania. His Italian allies, once again under Roman attack, now called on Pyrrhus for assistance. He advanced north from Tarentum with the force that he had brought back from Sicily, plus the troops he had raised from Tarentum, perhaps 40,000 men. Pyrrhus must have been expecting to receive reinforcements from his Italian allies, but the Samnites were no longer keen to fight either. They had suffered severely from Roman attacks during Pyrrhus's absence and deeply resented him because of this. Few came forward to join his army. After 3 years of constant defeat by the Romans, they were exhausted. Plutarch claims that the power of the Samnites had actually been shattered, and their spirits were broken in consequence of many defeats at the hands of the Romans. Pyrrhus's rapid advance in the central Italy appears to have caught the Roman consuls off guard. They had not yet united their forces. Learning that the Roman armies were still operating separately, Pyrrhus decided to defeat them in detail. He split his army, sending a detachment to Lucania. There they were to unite with any Lucanian forces they could find and prevent Cornelius from marching to unite with Curius. Pyrrhus then confronted Curius at Maventum in Samnia. The consul's army was most likely the usual two legions, about 10,000 men, plus an equal or larger contingent of allies, possibly 20 to 25,000 men in total. Pyrrhus would have received the same limited reinforcements from the Samnites, but had detached part of his army to Lucania. Orsius claims his army totaled 86,000 men. Dionysius says it outnumbered the Romans 3-1, perhaps 60 to 70,000 in total. Both are certainly exaggerations. Dionysius' lower figure, however, may be close to the truth if it also includes the detached force in Lucania. Pyrrhus's army at Maleventum, therefore, would have totaled somewhere between 30,000 and 50,000 men, with 40,000 being a likely figure. This would give Pyrrhus a substantial numerical advantage over Curius, and he hastened to take advantage of it before Cornelius could arrive. Curius was a skilled and experienced opponent who had already been awarded 3 triumphs. He encamped in a strong position on a hill and awaited reinforcements. Curius wisely refused battle, claiming either honestly or artfully that the omens were unfavorable. Pyrrhus, short of funds, needed a quick and decisive victory before the Roman armies could unite. He therefore devised a desperate plan. Pyrrhus decided to split his army, leading a specially selected force of strike troops around the Roman camp by night march. This force would then launch a surprise attack on the Roman camp from an unexpected direction under the cover of darkness. Meanwhile, his main army would divert the Romans' attention by supporting the attack from the front. This plan was, however, dangerous for two reasons. First of all, splitting one's army in the face of the enemy risks having each section defeated separately. Then, to add to the danger, night attacks were always dangerous. Troops could easily get lost or even attack their own side in the dark. Thucydides claimed that the Athenian attack on the Syracusan counterwall in 413 was the only night engagement during the 30 years of the Peloponnesian War. As such, it caught the Syracusans totally by surprise and resulted in early Athenian successes. Nonetheless, despite the fact it was a well-moonlit night that the Athenians chose, Pyrrhus' attack was daring but extremely perilous. Supposedly, prior to attack, Pyrrhus had subjected to nightmares, where most of his teeth fell out and he bled from the mouth. He was disturbed by these visions and feared that a disaster would occur. On previous occasions, when Pyrrhus had a similar dream, a misfortune had actually followed. Taking his dream as a bad omen, he decided to delay the battle, but was persuaded by his advisors not to let the current favorable opportunity slip from his grasp. So, here we have part one of the Battle of Maleventum. Now, the sources for this, Plutarch's Lives by Plutarch, Wars of Alexander's Successors, Volume 1 and 2 by Bennett and Roberts, History of Rome by Livy, Pyrrhus of Epirus by Champion, Wars in the Hellenistic World by Sherodis, Ancient Warfare, Volume 13, Issue 1, and Ancient Warfare, Volume 6, Issue 4. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.